College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, a banger. Big day. Got another debate later today. It's going to be Rhea and Elliot on it. This is a ridiculous topic. Is Josh Harris a good owner? I mean, Rhea, you're going to clobber him.
I don't even know what, like, I've said to him many times this week, I don't know. He goes, I have facts. And I'm going, you think I don't?
Yeah.
14 years of this dude?
Right.
It's been a disaster.
Yeah, so that'll be during the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have some fun with that. All right, so I want to ask a question to our group here. James is about to leave to go to his daughter's play. And James, I'm happy for you to be able to see Zoe in a, what is she now, about 5 years old, something like that?
She is six now.
That's great. All right, so.
First ever school play.
James will be out of here in a moment to go see his daughter play. Lewis is going to be jumping in. All right, so for Rhea, James, Ruben, and John. Now, if you know who retired yesterday, I don't want you to say it. Do you guys know what former Philadelphia athlete?
So I do.
Okay, John, you don't.
We got one.
John should know.
Here we go. Let's see if John, if you can get this. A former Philadelphia athlete who played here as recently as 3 years ago in one of the four teams, and it is not the Flyers. It is a Sixer, an Eagle, or a Philly that retired yesterday. Do you have any guess?
No.
He had a big playoff moment here. How about that?
Huge.
He really did.
Not big. Huge.
And he, I'll say
also
this.
Also had a very bumpy start here.
Well, you know what? He's someone by getting that final year here.
Totally, you're right.
Turned himself from that otherwise would have been scorned forever.
You're right.
To like, hey, congratulations to Gene Segura who retired.
We love you, Gene. Gene.
I mean, 2022, because I remember in like 21 or 20, whichever
you
year.
There was a game
he threw his ball, whether it was the McCutcheon thing. But the one to me that was the worst, he's playing a game on the road. Guy hits a ground ball near second base. He can't quite get it. He's kind of lunging for it. Can't get it. Throws his glove at the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, isn't even legal, right, Ruben?
That is correct. It's like a two-base error.
Like, if he had hit the ball, it would have been a two-base error. But he missed the ball. Ball goes in the right field. But, like, I remember, like, I think Girardi went out and, like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we, 6-year-olds? We're throwing our glove at the ball?
He was a little frustrated.
I actually felt like it was ingenuitive at first. Like, that's funny. That's a great idea. And then I learned that it was illegal. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it wasn't just, and obviously the big moment for him was the single in St. Louis in game one of 22. But, you know, he did a lot. He was a pretty solid defender, and more than most.
He was a really good defender.
Yeah, and here's what he was, way more than most that I've ever seen with the Phillies. Bat on the ball.
Yeah.
The guy did not swing and miss much, man.
I love him for that reason. You could depend on him to get on and move.
Yeah.
That base hit that he got was exactly that.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically threw his bat at the ball and put it in play and had one of the biggest RBIs in the history of the sport.
Absolutely.
Joe could not get over the fact that Gene Segura would be conversational.
Oh, I hated
with
that.
The opposition.
Oh, I hated that.
That Gene would just have a just say something.
That was too friendly.
In a friendly fashion.
Too friendly with Braves.
To the guy on second base.
Didn't like it.
Or, you know, the guy on first base.
Too much fraternization for him.
But, Ruben, isn't that part of like what people do
in
baseball?
I didn't like it. I'm not a
You didn't like Gene's fraternization?
I didn't like fraternization at all.
Wow.
Good man.
You're trying to beat the other team. Cut off all communication with the opponent
when
you're playing against him.
I'd say hello if a guy said, you know, that would be, I wouldn't be like Chase Utley where he basically ignore everybody.
I would say hello.
I remember my very first base hit. I mean, I remember who was the first baseman for the White Sox for the
Frank
big,
Thomas.
Frank Thomas.
Yeah.
I had just stolen a line drive base hit off him on left field. I made a sliding catch on him, and I was like,
awesome.
"Hey, Frank," and he didn't say a word to me. I was like, "Oh,
really,
crap, man? I'm out." And I was like half his size, right?
I was gonna say, I'd be afraid.
He was still pissed off that I made that play against him because he was trying to be a batting champion.
Yeah, I think.
Oh yeah, he was mad.
So you're just trying to
talk.
My
first hit. I'm like, I got my first hit. I was like, hey,
that's
Frank.
That's exciting. Of course, you're in a great mood.
I go, hi, Frank, and he's like, nothing.
That is great, man. Yeah. I love it. All right. Let's get a lot of calls in here. I also want to get to something debate related. We've had some fun this week with the debate thing. We'll keep that going. Also, let's remind you, Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, would you consider yourself, or did you consider yourself yesterday, more surprised or shocked that the tush push stayed legal? Second poll question, do you consider the win by the Eagles yesterday a major or minor offseason win? You can vote on both at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and certainly weigh in on the phone lines. Go to Jim right now in Morgantown. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, team. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Jim.
Hey, a couple of baseball points and then to the tush push. Rube, correct me if I'm wrong. Is there any other team in the National League or in our division that has four pitchers with one or less losses, and four players with over 20 RBIs?
Wow. I don't know those numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised that they're the only team.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, Joe, and I'm sure you realized it even before, but they're a great team.
They are a great team. Today's the first day I've declared it in like a month and a half. And I want to be clear, it doesn't guarantee you win the World Series or get there, but they are a great baseball team. And the primary reason is at least four out of five times through the rotation, you expect to get a really outstanding start by the starting pitcher. And it could turn into five out of five if Nola gets his act together or if Painter gets up here. I mean, that is such an advantage. I mean, I just hope, especially when you consider how little they had for so many different eras. I mean, I remember when, like, Kevin Gross was their best pitcher. I mean, no offense, but I mean, my God. That guy be trying to be the fifth starter right now. He wouldn't even be it.
No, Kevin Gross is a pretty good
pitcher. Yeah, but he's not better than Aaron Nola, who right now is their five.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Is Aaron Nola the five?
They don't need to state it, but he is.
Ruben.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Does it matter? They're all good.
They don't have to
it does matter when we get to the postseason, yes. And that means he doesn't pitch.
Yeah, well, right now.
Then it matters.
Right now, Lizardo's the second pitcher.
Yeah, dude, Lizardo could win the Cy Young.
Both too.
But if the postseason started right now,
Nola doesn't
do
start.
You hold Nola out?
Yeah,
Nola does not start.
Even playing right
he
now.
Does not start. I probably have Sanchez three, and if Suarez keeps pitching well, it might be Suarez because he's been so good in the postseason.
Look, Nola's got to prove it, man. Got to prove it.
It's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
Let's have it. Let's have the problem.
It's amazing, Jim. Well,
what about Mick Abel? Did you guys see what I mean, talk about perseverance.
That was rough weather, too.
Think about what this kid's gone through. He was a first-round pick. He thought he was going to be, I mean, he had the stuff to be a really high-level prospect. He struggled his rear end off for about two or three years.
Why?
Last year, couldn't throw strikes consistently. He was too much of a thinker.
Hmm.
And he made some sort of paradigm shift in his whole makeup and his and the way he went about it, and he said, screw it, I'm going to start pitching, and he's pitching. And he dealt the other day.
Yes, he did.
So it was one of the most spectacular games I've seen in a long, long time, just as a baseball game.
Well, that's
versus Skeens, that might have been one of the best baseball games
amazing
I've ever seen.
Ruben, it was less than 2 hours.
It was one of the best games I've ever seen.
It was great.
But is there a worry? You say there was a paradigm shift in just the way he looked at baseball and everything sort of fell into place. Is there a worry when something like that happens and things just suddenly work, that it can also work the other way, that things can just sort of, the wheels can fall off and he can be leaving in the lurch?
I think it goes the other way because I think he now, he transforms himself forward. I think about guys like Roy Halladay, who had that same sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that had to sort of regroup and revamp and reset.
Curt Schilling.
And they get better and better and better, and they don't stop getting better.
How about Zach Wheeler, Ruben?
Zach Wheeler's a great example.
I mean,
you know, there's a lot of examples, and they typically, once they have that shift and once they realize how good they are and how different the mindset is.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch, man.
Hey, Jim.
Tim Worrell was one of those guys. Tim Worrell was one of those guys, Todd Worrell's brother. Yeah. And he was like, man, I was just so worried about getting hit. And this, and all of a sudden I said, screw it. I'm just going to pitch. And he became a pretty darn good back end reliever for a while.
All right, Jim, I need an answer from you. For Phillies tickets, a movie with a great plot twist or a show?
I have the stone cold mortal lock, whether you're into pro wrestling or sports wrestling entertainment, under the direction of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Cena turning heel on Cody Rhodes.
All right, so we need a rolling, Richie. The world of what I'll always call WWF. I don't care if they call themselves WWE, you know. I mean, it. So on the table or not on the table? TV show.
Yes, I think so. It's a plot twist. John Cena.
Okay.
Goes so, rogue.
That's a twist with that kind of stuff on
heel.
The table. All right. Let's go to Dave right now in Wilmington. Oh, Davey. How are you, pal?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Tell the kids to pipe down. You're live on the air.
Hey, the radio says keep it down. They can hear you on the air.
They don't care. They want to hear themselves.
What do you got, Dave?
Well, based on your perspective of being upside down, Joe, if you draw a circle on the page with a stick figure on the top of the circle and the bomb, somebody's always upside down.
Yeah, I couldn't hear much, but yeah, people in Antarctica are upside down. There's no doubt, unless the whole thing is upside down, at which point then people at the North Pole would be upside down. So one or the other's upside down. I mean, it's just dark.
And congratulations to Rhea on winning that debate with Ali Shore Park.
You're the best, Dave.
Good call. All right, Dave, give me an answer for a plot twist.
Well, there are three plot twists in this movie. Psycho.
Fight Club's already been said. Give me a different answer.
Sixth Sense.
You got it. That's already been said, but it's too noisy.
Yeah.
I can't.
Is he driving that?
Yeah, it's really not.
Is that dangerous?
I don't think he's driving when he calls us. I think he's sitting there.
Let's hope that's the case. No, I'm kind of trying to look out for the kids. I feel very uncomfortable. John, I do. I feel uncomfortable when we take those calls.
It's a little scary.
I don't think we should take them. I really don't. I'm not trying to be the hall monitor, but like, I can't imagine.
A little dangerous.
Right?
I mean, we know that
it's squeamish.
The problem is that it's more than driving. You know, like you got so many lives in the vehicle.
That's the point.
And then there's also other activities like the stopping and starting and letting on and letting off. Yeah. Like I feel like there is a lot more you need to be aware for.
I think we should stop
their normal driving. Man, and they're not. There's distractions back there. You don't know kids are.
And kids could be bullying each other.
There's a lot of grab ass going on back there.
Well, that's a whole different matter. But sometimes you got to be, you know, the cop of the bus. And, you know, if someone's getting bullied, you got to step in. And, like,
right.
I think I'm done with that. I'm not trying to be, you know,
Dave should get off
pocket
the bus
protector
and
guy.
Call when he gets, drops him off.
All right.
Right?
Yes.
Get him in so much.
It's probably better. And we have talked to Dave before.
He's a good guy.
When the kids weren't on the bus.
Yeah, he's a good dude. All
so
right.
That's preferable.
So we got another debate coming up in about 45 minutes. Rhea and Elliot on Josh Harris. I want to go back to yesterday. Was I wrong to say the best season in Philadelphia sports history is Wilt Chamberlain? So here's the deal. Let me give you quick facts. I won't get too bogged down. I'm just going to give you quick facts. Wilt Chamberlain, 1962. This has to be my number one. 50 points, 25 rebounds per game. Ruben, you'll appreciate this. I got Grover Cleveland Alexander, number two. Now, consider these bonker facts. This is 1915. Team gets to the World Series.
Right.
Offense let him down in the World Series. Right. Not his fault. It didn't have enough around him. But they get to the World Series. Guy wins 31 games. He pitches 376 innings and has a 1.22 ERA. Mm. I mean, all due respect to Saquon, I got to give my guy Alexander number two. I go Wilt 67, number three. They win the title. He's MVP, the whole deal. 24 points, 24 rebounds, 7 assists per game. Now, more modern times, because let's get to what obviously our audience is more familiar with. I'm kind of joking, but I'm not really. Like, I do think those are probably above Saquon. In the modern times, Moses, number one, 1983. Regular season MVP, playoff MVP, per game, 24 points, 15 rebounds, 2 blocks. And
delivered
he
delivered the championship.
Championship, and he out-rebounds Kareem in the finals, 18-7 per game. He out-rebounds Kareem by over 10 rebounds per game. Carlton, 72, that's second.
Okay, I was waiting on Carlton.
Yep, I got Carlton, 72, second. I got Bernie in 74 when he
Boom.
Went... Vezina and Conn Smythe, same
Boom.
Year, 1.89 goals against average, 932 save percentage, and obviously the Stanley Cup, including the shutout in Game 6. I got him three. And then here's where I got Saquon. I didn't list them all by number, but in a grouping that includes Saquon, Reggie White, 1987, Roy Halladay, 2010, Ryan Howard, 2006, Mike Schmidt, 1980, Bobby Clark, 75, and probably T.O. back end of that, 04. Does that sound reasonable?
No, very reasonable.
So, Rhea, how did I lose this debate, apparently? Because I just talked longer and louder?
Because you didn't scream.
What was his call?
He said Saquon, number one. I'm like, how are you going to go above a guy that had 50 points and 25 rebounds? The guy scored 100 points in a game.
They had to change the rules because of Will Chamberlain.
Yeah. I think Saquon would agree. Will Chamberlain, number one. Just saying. That's you know who says that?
Yes! Hammer!
And he also says,
wait a minute. Right. By the way, the Hammer lost last week.
Well,
right?
Ruben.
Wait, am I missing something? Am I misremembering that or
right.
no?
But then he... Ruben. I don't know. He's still complaining
why are you
about it. And
you know what happened?
Challenging the loss.
He
still.
Is.
He still says he didn't lose.
All right, Ruben, I'm going to play.
Accountability is important.
That's what he lacks.
And well,
most.
That's what I think James is lacking. Ruben, I'm going to play you a question that was honestly asked. This is not doctored audio. You be the. Now, mind you, I lost 3-2, ran out of time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, it wasn't like I answered all the questions. I was. Processing through nonsense from Seltzer. Ruben, I want to play for you one question that Seltzer asked. I want you, John, I'm going to say this. I will relent on challenging this, quote, loss if Ruben says that I should relent. If Ruben says I don't have grounds to stand on, I will stand no longer.
Okay.
If Ruben says I have real grounds to challenge, because Dave Skopanich, by the way,
just made
I like making this decision. No, I love it. I love the heat.
Because Ruben, I trust you, and me and James are both friends with you, like equal friendships.
Yeah,
I think you're an honest guy. Dave Skopanich, our head of sales around here, vice president, Odyssey vice president, head of sales in the local market here, told me last night he thinks it should be a redo, not a loss, a redo. Ruben,
well,
I'm going
to. He's wrong.
Okay.
Don't try to sway me, Joe.
Okay, Ruben.
Okay? I don't care what some other people did.
I will go with what you say should happen.
All right.
I'm going to play you the audio of one of James's questions. Imagine the confusion this question causes.
Zach Wheeler is one of two current Eagles who played for the Mets prior to joining the Phillies. Name the other.
First of all, you know Zach Wheeler doesn't play for the Eagles.
I do know that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think you got to relent, man. I'm
That's
sorry.
A shame.
Thank you.
I mean, one.
That's wisdom.
I'll just say, Ruben, one or two extra. One
you
or
didn't
two.
Even,
hold on. Before you give your official ruling, one or two extra seconds, I could have fired out an answer to tie it. And you don't think that creates 1 or 2 seconds of confusion, let alone 3 to 5 seconds?
So the second I hear Zach Wheeler, I'm automatically in baseball mode. I'm automatically in baseball mode, man. I'm sorry. It's confusing, and I can understand why you got confused, but...
No, I can't.
Zach Wheeler?
Did you... No, hold on. Did you at any point think that Zach Wheeler played for the Eagles?
I was just all around
Did you
confused.
At any point think that Zach Wheeler played for the Eagles?
No, but I didn't know what we
so
were...
So then what's the problem?
I don't know which thing he's getting wrong.
So can I say this?
Is he getting wrong the first part of the question or the second part of the question?
Because he finished up with
guys, when you're in the moment and you have a finite number of times...
Zach Wheeler.
I'm not a quick thinker, honestly, Joe. I do respect your knowledge is ridiculous. Your knowledge is ridiculous, but... And I respect the fact that you can think quickly. I can't think quickly, and I still locked in on Zach Wheeler.
Okay. Listen, Ruben, I told you what you say goes.
Hold on. Okay, that means you're actually...
I take the L. I take it begrudgingly. I will put it on the list. I do have a list.
That is actually
I was being honest, though.
Yeah, no.
I wasn't trying to...
That's an honest evaluation. You have nothing at stake here.
This is just zero at stake.
Evaluating the situation fairly. I truly believe that's the fair way to go.
Well, listen, I said I would do it, and I'll abide by what I said. I will add this to the list.
Did you see his face?
Well, I'm not happy.
He's not happy.
Not pleased with this.
I may not come on the show.
I think he might be a little bit surprised.
Amar, you're lucky you're over there, because if you were next to me right now,
what would you do?
Did you expect him to say,
"Pow, bam, see, smack"?
Here's what I don't understand. It's not like Joe to put himself in position to lose like that. Like, did you actually expect that Ruben would say, "Oh, absolutely"?
I didn't know which way it would go. I thought that Ruben would probably vote against me.
Really?
But I also thought...
So you're not surprised?
I am not surprised.
Okay.
I thought there was a chance I could win it. I will say I also knew for the good of the show, at some point you just got to have resolution.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't have this linger forever. Yeah. So, you know.
So you're willing to take... the decision as it lays.
There's six or seven times where I have felt unjust results, and I'll add this to the list. No, seriously, but it is what it is. I mean,
how many losses do you have?
Well, now official,
you don't have very many.
Now official record is 283-45.
Well, that's a nice round loss number, isn't it?
I'm not happy.
That is a beautiful round loss.
That's a
robust loss number.
Absolutely.
45.
Garbage.
Whoa.
Garbage.
That's almost 100.
All right, let's get to Chuck in Cherry Hill. Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, don't mess my name up again, Joe.
I'm sorry.
That's right, Chuck.
He's feeling a little, he's upset, Chuck. Leave him alone.
Yeah, he's thrown off.
I am thrown off.
Yeah. He's upset with me.
What's up, Chuck?
What's up, morning? Hey, Rube, listen, Rube. You know, my guy. You're my guy, Rube. You know what I mean? The GM of the year. You know what I'm saying to you? The GM of the year. Because, you know, it's a GM in a city that I can't stand. And, now that I look back at your career, I kind of appreciate you more. You know, Daryl Morey.
Well, that's thoughtful.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Daryl Morey is the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life. Nobody's talking about him. He's just going under the radar. You know,
if he was the Eagles GM, it'd be a bigger deal because they do get more attention. It's an absolute travesty, Chuck.
Joe, it's a disaster.
It is.
Joe, this guy, and he's talking about trading out the third pick. Well, I tell you, he better be right. He had better be right if he trade out the third pick, because Ace Bailey imagine he's going to be, you know, anything like Kevin Durant or something. Just saying,
Chuck. It's as simple as this. You can't trust Embiid to chase this title with the third pick who can be here for 12 years for a guy who can be here for 2 years. You can't do
That's what I'm saying.
Do it.
You cannot do that.
Correct.
You already paid the guy, and you didn't have to. You know what I mean? You put us in this box. It's just a disaster, man.
Yep.
I don't want to talk about it. It's a disaster. I called to say about the Phillies real quick, though. Right? I didn't think they would have a good year, but they are warming up to me. And I'm happy they're doing good. They're beating up on tomato cans right now, but it's baseball.
Yep.
But listen, this is what Aaron Nola needs to do, right? He probably won't play, you know, in the playoffs with these pitchers the way they're pitching. Then you saw my bringing up Andrew Painter. Focus on doing what you can to contribute to the team, and that's being in the bullpen. Maybe you get some bullpen innings from him. You know what I mean? In the playoffs. We always need bullpen arms. Focus on being the best bullpen guy you can be. You pitch your time in, Aaron. Sometimes change is inevitable. And you have to accept it in life. So just accept this change and just, you know, contribute the best way you can by winning a championship here and being the best bullpen arm you can be.
There are better options. He's not an option for the bullpen. No, he's never done it in his life.
Literally in his life,
he's never come out of a bullpen.
And it's just like it doesn't even seem like his stuff can be bullpen stuff.
I mean, he may get a tick on his fastball, whatever. He just needs to get back to where he was about three starts ago when he was spinning the baseball properly. He was moving the baseball, keeping it down in the zone, mixing it up. That's who he is. Eat up innings, be durable, and just be that guy. And that's enough.
Listen, Chuck, here's where I'm at, man. Nola to the bullpen, maybe in October, but absolutely not when he comes back from the injury. Like, absolutely not. Give him every opportunity. Because remember this, man. The fifth starter, whoever the hell it is, you know, that can be a six inning guy. Like, that's more valuable to me than one inning in a bullpen three times a week. Get him right, start him, figure out as you approach the trade deadline and ultimately October who's in the bullpen in the playoffs and who's not. You don't need to figure that out yet. I'm certainly not starting freaking Taiwan Walker instead of Aaron Nola.
Most rotations can't even get their second or third guy to throw five or six
innings. Not doing it. Chuck, I need an answer from you.
Joe, let me.
What?
Listen, Bryce Harper never played first base. and he's the first baseman. So you can't say that, all in all, he's not going to be a good ball. The guy has pitched some big innings in the playoffs. I'm sure he can pitch one or two innings.
Listen, in the playoffs, yes, but I'm not doing it in freaking June. I'm not doing that.
I'm not talking about June. I'm talking about in the playoffs. October,
well, no, I'm open-minded to it. I've told you that. Chuck, I need an answer, a plot twist.
Yeah, Orphan.
You got it, pal. All right, pal. Chuck, good call as always. All right, so coming up in a minute here, I want to get to something that Diddy said about the tush push yesterday and the vote going the Eagles' way. Some interesting stuff from Ray coming up shortly here. Hey, let me tell you about United Tire. Obviously, they're amazing. It was great. It was great last night at the client party we had with the Lombardi trophies here at WIP. Trophies, that's right, two. Seeing Greg and the squad from United Tire, wonderful people, man, wonderful people. United Tire, they do great work. And they got 10 different locations throughout the Delaware Valley, whether it's for service, you know, general service, or specifically tires. They cover it all. They also do great work for the community. Put another way for you. So United Tire has partnered with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to help fund life-saving care, comfort, and brighter days. Whether you need service or not, this May, and obviously there's about a week to go in May, this May, stop into your locally owned United Tire and donate, if you can, please, to support Children's Hospital, support the kids in the hospital, and United Tire will match dollar for dollar. That's right, every single dollar. They will match dollar for dollar your donation and give you a voucher for $50 off a set of four new tires. It's a great way to get your car serviced the right way and obviously help some kids in need at the same time. Please find the location nearest you at UnitedTire.com. That's UnitedTire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. All right, a couple tush push related pieces of audio I want to get to. I want to do an audible at the line of scrimmage. I want to play the Lewis Riddick audio first. So, one of the things we're asking today, major win for the Eagles, minor win for the Eagles, you know, how do you kind of assess it? You can tell from Lewis Riddick's standpoint, he thinks this is a big deal for the Eagles. I agree with him. Here's what he said.
I think here, you know, for Philadelphia, hey, look, this is it's a huge win for them. Other teams need to look at exactly, you know, what kind of countermeasures can they put into place in order to slow it down, which quite honestly, I don't really think you can. Their offensive line is just too good. Jalen Hurts is just too strong. And whether or not, unless you have about three or four Vita Veas from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're cooked. You're cooked when they decide to do this. It's just over. It's a wrap.
I said earlier, I'll say again, and I don't know if Lewis Riddick would agree with this, but it sounds like the kind of thing I'm talking about. I don't think other teams will stop the Eagles. I think this whole thing moving forward is about whether other – tell me if you agree with this, Ruben. It's about whether other offenses can get proficient at it, not whether their defenses can stop the Eagles.
I totally agree with that. And other teams should be working to try to be good at it. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, it's there. It's there for their
instance, Mekhi Becton.
I mean, Mekhi all they got to do is watch some film. Bro.
Well, watch film, but also Mekhi Becton now plays for a different team. He was obviously in the meetings with Jeff Statler.
Right.
If I'm his offensive line coach, hey, Mekhi.
What are they doing?
What works?
What's
the technique?
Yeah.
Now, listen, not every team's going to have Dickerson and Mulatto on the left side. Not every team's going to have Jalen Hurts. Very few. Very few. Maybe two or three teams in football. Josh Allen being an example. Big, burly guy that can barrel in there. But for the most part, not that. But the technique is such a big part of it. So
it really is, and I can't understand why other teams have not deployed this. I just don't get it.
They clearly haven't worked on it as much.
Every sport is a copycat sport. I mean, when something works, why would you not utilize that piece?
All right. So the Diddy commented after the vote yesterday. Ray Dittinger was on with John Clark on John's podcast. Here's Ray's perspective on yesterday's development.
I think there were a couple of kind of hard-nosed, old-school football guys, coaches now, that just didn't like the idea of litigating stuff out of the game. And I'm talking about Dan Campbell and Mike Vrabel. Were two coaches who, when the trend was all seeming to move towards getting rid of the tush push, Vrabel and Dan Campbell both said, no, that's The way you settle things in football is you settle them on the field. You don't settle them in a boardroom. And you don't settle them with politicking and lobbying and all that kind of stuff. This is football. This isn't passing a bill on Capitol Hill.
I love that line. I mean, it's a pretty good way to sum it up.
That is so great.
Perfect.
I mean, thank goodness that we had those guys in that room.
Yeah, that's
guys who could keep things, I don't know, the way they should be, old school, a little more level-headed. Like, let's settle things on the field, fellas.
They
let's,
may have made the difference. There.
That really...
Yeah.
I didn't think about Vrabel being attached to the Patriots initially, you know, when I was looking at the list of teams. But, you know, of course, it makes sense that Mike Vrabel would be on this side of it.
Being on the other side of it, you know, with McDermott.
Yep.
I believe it's every AFC East team voted, you know, in favor of not, you know, banning it, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think the most interesting thing about the way teams voted was that only one other NFC team supported keeping it because the Eagles are a bigger threat, you know, conference thing and all that. All right, so let's...
Only one team who we play supports this play.
Well, let's listen to...
the Detroit Lions.
Let's listen to the coach of the Lions. So the audio we have here of Dan Campbell was not from yesterday. It was from earlier in the offseason, but it was when he was talking about the tush push and kind of where it could go and his opinion on it. Here's what Dan Campbell had said.
I'm like, hey, man, they... Like, Philly obviously is known for this because, you know, they're the ones who've really kind of perfected it and done it, do it over and over. And I'm like, man, good for them, man. If you got something, we got to stop it. So, like, to me, leave it in. And, you know, we plan this year, we got to find a way to stop it. And I like that.
Props to that guy. I mean, look,
he's
I thought
so awesome.
It,
yeah, he says he likes that. Yeah.
It's a challenge. He likes to be challenged.
It is a challenge. This is noble. This is what you do. This is when you go out there and you settle it like men.
I
appreciate that.
It could hurt them. Ruben, you never should have let the Braves in the NL East in the 1990s.
My fault.
No, 100% your fault.
Definitely my fault.
I mean, they had freaking Maddox.
A lot of things are my fault. That was one of them.
Hey, Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz, and the organization was like, hey.
14 years later, we didn't win one division.
I'm well aware. I remember in the moment being so out of my mind. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Brian in Abington. Brian, how you doing, bud?
Yeah, how you doing, Joe?
I can always find a way, you know, I got to bring Ruben's pass into this somehow.
Yeah, because I zipped you.
What's up, dude?
But you 100% won that debate yesterday.
Thank you.
100%. Ike had to prove that Barkley had the best season. All you had to do was put a shadow of doubt in the debate. You did that right away.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So why does everyone think I lost that debate?
Was there a poll taken?
No, but like,
why isn't there a poll taken?
I wonder why Brian...
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, why are you doing this? What makes you such a Joe
he's getting paid
debate
off.
Fan?
When I heard,
because you're the only person who thinks that
you are.
I was like, there's no way Joe is going to win this. I was like, he 100% is going to lose, and then he put a shadow of doubt. That's all he had to do.
Well, it sounds like the way you're judging this is a little kinder than the way everyone else judges it.
And all Joe had to do was prove that Saquon wasn't the best. He didn't have to prove who had the best season.
Wasn't that the question?
To
prove that he was the best or not?
And the other thing, Brian, and I think I needed bonus points for this. Who wanted that assignment that I got? I mean, Saquon's an active player that is universally beloved and respected. And I'm the guy that has to come in here and argue against the guy?
The Contra.
I mean, that is rough.
Give me some extra points.
A lot of credit.
You should get a little love for that.
Yeah. That's true.
When Rod Lakin, our program director, approached me with it, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Why do I have to take that side?
Yeah, I mean, what is this nonsense? Anyway, it's all good. Brian, give me an answer, pal. You can win the Phillies tickets. Oh, what was the plot twist?
Lost?
Did you say Walt?
Lost.
Oh, Lost. Yeah. Yes, Lost. Yeah. You know, I might watch that someday.
I never watched any of it.
Oh, really?
Not a second.
I watched a little bit of it.
So Lost and 24 overlapped, right? They were the two shows that were sort of same time? I think
Lost
so.
Lost was first.
I didn't watch either.
Lost was before 24. 24 is solid.
24 is outstanding.
Keep
Ruben,
for selling, right?
Yeah, I think they were same time.
Really?
And I think people were a Lost person or a 24 person, I think.
Interesting.
So what else was at that time that I was neither?
Yeah, me either.
I mean, it's
there
like
must have been something else.
Dude, that's like the Ally McBeal.
What year are we talking?
Well, I remember your Eagles would be playing, and you'd be seeing these promos for like Ally McBeal. The Jessica Alba, what was her show?
Was John playing then?
Alias.
Maybe that's
no,
why. That's
not, why. No, not Jessica Garner. Jessica Alba.
I don't remember.
She was in that show. Oh,
was it
she
a vampire
looked,
or something?
Oh, man.
I remember. They,
no, not vampire.
Oh, it was like, I'd be watching Eagles games and I'd see the Jessica Alba commercials. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
More what of that and then less of, you know, less of the Eagles.
Yep. Agreed.
All right.
She's getting a divorce, you know.
I tell you, there's hope for the men in the world.
Hope for folks.
Not, but not for you.
No, I'm not looking for Jessica Alba. But, I mean, I'm just saying, if I was, then...
Dark Angel? Is that
Dark Angel is what it was.
That's exactly... Yeah, well, maybe it was a vampire. Was it vampire?
Dark Angel. Ish. Yeah.
I thought it was.
I think. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw it.
Whoa.
Wasn't friend of the show, David Boreanaz, somehow affiliated with that show?
Been on the program multiple times. Was he in that show?
With Dark Angel?
Don't know.
I'm not sure.
Not sure.
He was part of Buffy.
Yes.
Yes.
Was he somehow part of Dark Angel as well? Maybe I'm way off base there.
And he was part of the Immaculata movie. Immaculata winning the first three championship in women's college basketball. Shout out to Kathy Rush.
Oh, wow.
Basketball Hall of Famer.
Wow.
All right, 215-592-9494. Rhea Hughes against Elliot Shore Parks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be about whether Josh Harris is a good owner. I encourage you to listen for the hilarity of how Elliot will try to sell this nonsense. That and more up ahead on a great day on 94 WIP.
Let me talk about my good friends at Lexus of Cherry Hill. I've been working with them, leasing with Lexus of Cherry Hill for over a decade. There are a lot of great reasons why. They're an elite Lexus dealer for 2024. They've got great people. They've got great service. You'll receive when you enter the dealership. They've got 2025 Lexus models in. They are moving fast. And Lexus of Cherry Hill is now a 7-time certified J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. You'll see that Lexus of Cherry Hill difference when you stop in and see Tony Labello and his team. They'll help guide you to the perfect Lexus, the one of your dreams, because they've got over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Another thing to really love about Lexus of Cherry Hill, they are veteran-owned and operated. So face it, you deserve a Lexus, and you deserve award-winning customer service. Start your journey today at Lexus of Cherry Hill in Mount Laurel or online at lexusofcherryhill.com. Lexus of Cherry Hill, family-owned and operated.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.